in a day and time where evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. We're living in a time where the enemy is on a rampage. He's attacking everywhere. He's trying to wreak havoc in our lives. He's up in his assault on the world in general and on the saints in particular, because we are his enemies because of the decision that we made. Amen. We are his enemies, and we are well aware that he is our enemy. And we need to understand the ground on which we stand. We are in the church, the true church of God. If and since we have obeyed the biblical mandate of repentance, being baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, this places you in the body or in the church. And the Bible clearly states that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. It didn't say that it wouldn't attack, but it said it won't prevail. So the gates, the powers of hell will attack the church individually and corporately, but we need to understand that it cannot prevail, because the foundation and the founder of the church is Jesus Christ. And I read in my Bible, when he got up, he said, all power in heaven and earth is in my hand, it's given unto me, right? So we need to understand, especially as we face more difficult situations and circumstances in our life, we need to understand that we're standing on a sure foundation. We need to understand that. We need to understand that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So we have a sure foundation. We're not standing on a hill. We're not standing in mud. We're not standing on some slippery ground. We're standing on the tried and tested rock, Jesus Christ. All right? Walk with me, if you will, to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2, and I want to start at verse number 8. I plan to teach this morning. That's what I planned to do. But we'll see if God will allow me to stay in teaching mode. I hope he does. But sometimes we get excited. But we plan to teach because we want you to be able to absorb the Word of God. We want you to be able to take the Word of God with you throughout the week and be able to apply it. All right? Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse number 8. I have the Amplified version of the Bible. Paul is speaking to the church, to the saints at Ephesus. Here's what he says in verse number 8. We get into his conversation. It's already going on. But here's something that I wanted to pull out for today. It says, for it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God. Now, we need to understand that. Salvation didn't come by what we worked. I did this and I did that, and God saved me. I went down my list and I checked off. No. This is Christ's salvation, and it's not of our own doing. It didn't come through our own striving, through our own efforts. It came as a gift of God. Verse number 9 says, not because of works, not the fulfillment of the law's demand. So you couldn't keep the law and be saved. all right, lest any man should boast. So God takes away boasting. He takes away boasting from every human being. It is not, the verse continues, it is not the result of what anyone can possibly do, with nothing that we could possibly do to get salvation. Nothing. All right? So no one can pride himself in it or take glory to himself. This is why I believe one of the most loudest and demonstrative events that should ever happen in a congregation is praise and worship. Because when we understand that it's the grace of God that saved us, when we understand that it was nothing that we could do to save us, nothing that we could do to earn or merit this great gift of God, which is our salvation, then it should motivate a thought of thankfulness in our heart. It should motivate a thought of appreciativeness in our hearts, in our minds, and it should motivate us to want to come every time we have an opportunity to corporately praise God for this great salvation. So we should rush to be able to corporately praise God when we think about this salvation. We couldn't work. We couldn't pay. We couldn't bribe or talk our way into salvation. And I'm glad for that fact. Now, verse number 10 is what I want to key on as we point to us being approved. It says, verse 10, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. That's a lot right there. When we were born again, Bible lets us know we were recreated in Christ Jesus. Paul speaks to the saints at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. He says, this is very familiar, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. So when we were born again, when a person gets born again, if somebody here today who's not yet born again, if you get born again today, your old is passed away. Lord have mercy. It's passed away. I don't care what you have done. It's passed away. And you become a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Because of the salvation that is found and furnished in nobody else but Jesus Christ. All right? But God said something here in this 10th verse. It said that we, those of us who are recreated in Christ Jesus, every individual who's born again, we were born again and we were predestined. We were predestined. We were planned beforehand to do good works. So we weren't born again to live unto ourselves. We were born again to do the good works that God has already mapped out for us ahead of time before we ever got born again. This sheds some light on our approval. All right? That we should walk in them. Now, God wants us to live a good life. Do you see that? Huh? But it's a good life according to what God calls good. Huh? Because the world has an idea of the good life. I hear the Bible say, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So if you want to live a good life, live the good life that God calls good. Because what the world calls good, it sure ain't good. Well, it is not good. And it ain't either. Amen. Right? But But now here's something. God, now, Scripture says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to put our faith in the word of God, not in man's concepts and man's precepts. What God is saying, I've planned a good life for every individual that's born again. God said, I already planned it. I done charted out the path for every individual who is a new creation in Christ Jesus. God said, I have planned out your life. And it's a good life. But you got to stick to the plan. Oh, man, you got to stick to the plan. No wonder the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God knows, God knew what he was doing when he planned out the good life for us. We couldn't plan it, right? Because we don't know the turns and the different things that we're going to face in our life. But God saw all of that. We need to understand. Move with me now to Romans. Romans chapter 8, very familiar passage of scripture, but we're going to unpack some things and hopefully we get a new or a better appreciation of what God has so graciously given us. And if we appreciate it, then we'll live like we appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Romans chapter 8, we can probably quote this passage, right? Verse 28. Y'all probably knew I was going there, huh? Mm-hmm. I want to read the verse, and then I want to go back step by step and unpack some things in the verse, and then we'll see what happens after that, all right? But keep in your mind that you're approved. Keep that in your mind, all right? See, this is where the battle is, right here. In your mind, that's where the battle is. I hear the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So God, help me to get my mind where it's supposed to be. I hear the Bible says, I will keep him in perfect peace. Huh? Anybody need perfect peace? Huh? In the midst of your storms, in the midst of the attacks that the enemy is launching, a full barrage, a full-scale onslaught on your mental well-being, huh? But God will keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. So I got to keep my mind on Jesus, huh? I have to keep my mind on Jesus. I'm going to preach. I'll teach to myself for a minute. Y'all can tag along if y'all want to. But I got to keep my mind on Jesus because there's so many distractions. I got to stay focused on Jesus. I got to keep important what is important. And what is important is the purpose that we don't want to be selfish. The purpose that we are designed for is to give God glory. Huh? That's the purpose, to give God praise. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, God wants some witnesses here that, yes, these are my people and I approve them, and watch how they live. God wants some trophies. He wants to show us off in the devil's face. He said, have you considered my servant? Have you considered my servant? Romans chapter 8, verse 28, very familiar. Here's what it says in the Amplified Version. We are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan. Not your plan. not your plan, because we got some plans. You know, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And we are assured and know that all things, we are assured and know that God being a partner. Is God a partner in your plan? Or let me reverse that. Are you a partner in God's plan? Because God ain't going to partner with some of our foolishness. We are assured. Now, remember, we read in the other passage of Scripture that God has planned out a good life for us, right? And he's charted a path for us, right? So now, if God is working with us and we're working with God, then we are assured here, right? and know that God being a partner in their labors, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good. There's that good again, right? To and for those who love God and are the called according to his design and purpose. God didn't call us just because he wanted a crowd. God can, he called us with a purpose in mind. He called us with a design in mind, all right? Then the verse, I got to read through the verse, then we'll come back and catch some key things. Verse 29, for those whom he foreknew, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand, he also destined from the beginning, foreordaining them to be molded into the image of his son and share inwardly his likeness, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30 is where we'll stop for now, but I want to get that too. And those whom he thus foreordained, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified, acquitted, made righteous, put them into right standing with himself. And those whom he justified, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. That's a lot right there. Let's go back and walk through this now. Now, Paul said, we are assured of this. See, you got to be assured of this, right? I think hymn number 155 says, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. You got to be assured. In this day and time, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation. Are you an heir of salvation? Why? Because you've been purchased by God. God owns me. Anybody else is owned by God? Amen. Now, you're owned by the one now who planned your life, who planned a good life for you. So where is worry? Where does worry come in? Since God knows what's best for me, since God has planned out a good life for me, according to his definition of good. Well, if God planned out a good life for me, why am I struggling like I'm struggling? Good question. I prayed and I asked God for this and I asked God for that. But did we get to the nevertheless? Not my will, but thy will be done. Some of us won't get to that because we don't, that's not what we really want. Let's just tell the truth about it. We want our will to be done. Not God's will. Lord, help me. If you don't help nobody else, help me. Sometimes I want what I want. Amen. And you do too. Amen. But we ain't going to say it because we put up a false image of ourselves. Tear it down. And God can help you tear it down. I want to go back here and look at some words that I underlined here just to help my own understanding and hopefully will help you as well. In verse number 28, you got to understand the word called in this verse. It means invited, appointed. It means a saint, called. That's what that word means in verse 28. So in verse 28, it says, who are the called? So he's talking about saints. He ain't talking about ain'ts. He's talking about saints. And saints is a short or abbreviation of sanctified ones. Huh? Those who are set apart for God and set apart by God and set apart to God. So that's what it means to live a sanctified life. That means that we can't live like everybody else. Not that we're better than anybody else, don't get it wrong, but we understand and we've come to the understanding that there's a purpose for my life. A lot of people search in the world at large and say, why am I here? Maybe they never read the Bible. Huh? Or maybe, God forbid, they never had somebody witness to them and tell them why you're really here. You don't have to go away to the far places to try and find yourself. Open up the Word of God, you'll find yourself all in there. And you'll find the lover of your soul in there. You'll find why you were created. You were created for a purpose to give God glory. You were created for that purpose. So the called are the invited ones. I'm so glad that we were invited. And it also means appointed. We were invited and we were appointed. The call to salvation, whosoever will, let him come. That's the invitation. That's a general invitation. That means anybody, man, woman, boy, or girl, you can come and receive salvation. This invitation goes out to the world. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Here's the invitation. Jesus on the cross. All right? Verse number 29, the word foreknow or foreknew, it means to know beforehand, right? It means also to foresee, to ordain, to know before. Now, we have to wrap our heads around this. God knew us beforehand, and he knew all about us beforehand. Now, when we look in a human realm, sometimes we can know things about something or about individuals, and that's about all. But we can't see things beforehand. But this word here, foreknow, means to know beforehand and to foresee. This gives me encouragement. This lets me know that God knew me and he saw me before I even got here. He knew all the mistakes and all the successes that I was going to have, and he still approved me. That's why I said when we think about this, our praise should increase. Because God saw me, he knew me, and he ordained me beforehand. Then the word predestined, it means in verse 29, that word means to limit in advance. To limit in advance, or to set boundaries. Glory, hallelujah. God set some boundaries for us in advance, and I'm glad he did, because none of us would be in here today if God didn't set some boundaries for us. Some of our boundaries are larger or farther than others. Praise God. But God set a limit. It means to limit in advance, to predetermine before, to predestine. So, you know what? This gives me encouragement, because even my trials have a limit. Huh? Since he knows everything about me, right? I have to be assured in this. So the trial that I'm going through, the trial that you're going through, the trial that we may be collectively going through, it has its limits in advance. It can't go but so far. When we know this and we are assured of this and we don't doubt this, this is when, and I think the only way, we can really generate a praise while we're going through. Because if you are not assured of the outcome of your life, if you are not really assured, according to the Word of God, of the outcome of the situation, if you have a faint hope, and I wish, if all you have is a wish, then that won't generate a praise. It will not a genuine praise. You can come up with some fake stuff, huh? But a real, genuine praise will come from the fact that I know and I am assured that this trial, this test, this situation has a limit. God has already set a boundary on it. But I got to know that. I got to know that. I have to know that that's how God operates. That means I got to know God. Then this word called in verse 29 has a different, slight different meaning than the word called in verse 28. The word called in verse 29 means to call properly aloud, but used in a variety of applications, and it means to bid. To bid, it means to call forth, and it also means surname. So that makes it a little bit more personal. God calls me by name. He calls me by name. So that means if he calls me by name, he knows the intricate details of my life. He just doesn't know my children are going through. He knows Marcus is going through. You put your name there. He knows that you're going through because he calls you by name. Now, we need to hold on to that. Did you notice something here, though? What I want you to notice, all of these things that we're discussing here in the Word of God are spoken in the past tense. Already done, as far as God is concerned. And all he's waiting for us to do is our faith to connect with what he has already declared and has already established. Called, that's past tense, right? Foreknew, that's past tense, right? Predestinated, past tense. God says it's already done. Then the word justified in verse 29, it means to render, that is, to show regard as just or innocent. Now that just blows my mind. God justified me. God justified you. He rendered you innocent. He rendered you to be righteous. When did he do that? After I got saved? When did he do it? Before. Justified. He rendered. He shows me as innocent, freely justified. He shows me as righteous in Christ Jesus. That's the end all. Because remember, Ephesians said, it's not of works. I can't justify myself by doing what these so-called good deeds, but I was justified because of what Jesus did at Calvary, and so were you. But it's a past tense with God. That means he's done it already. All right? Not only did he justify us, the scripture says that he glorified us. Wow. He glorified us. What does that mean? That means to render glorious, to esteem, to have full of honor, full of glory, honor, magnify. So God, that's how he sees us. This is how we can say that we're approved. Because God sees us as a finished product. He sees us that way. All right? So what are we going to do with that? How are we going to live in view of that? Should we hold our heads down with the woe is me attitude because there's some unpleasantness that happens in all of our lives? No. No. We're more than conquerors. Do we believe the word of God or we don't? We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So since we're more than conquerors, I should have a more than conquerors mentality. Right? I should have a positive outlook on the word of God. I should hold to God's word above everything else that's going on around me or in me or in my mind or in my family. I have to hold on to the Word of God. then I think the Bible follows up and says, what shall we say to these things? What things? All the things that God has listed to let us know that we are approved. What shall we say to being the called of God? What shall we say to being the predestined of God? What shall we say to being justified by God? What shall we say to being ordained by God? What shall we say to being glorified by God? What we gonna do with that, y'all? What shall we say? Shall we live a woe is me life? God forbid. What shall we do? Shall we continue in sin? God forbid. We're not gonna abuse the grace of God, but what shall we say to these things? To what things? To the things that God has provided in the salvation of Jesus Christ. What shall we say to these things? If God before us. Huh? Is God for us? All right, so let me change that. If you allow me to change that. Since God is for us, who can be against us? Huh? Since God is for us, who? Help me. Put your hand on yourself and say, since God is for me, who can be against me? All right, you got to tell that to yourself. Now, remember that when your tests come. Remember that when your trial comes. God is for you. Huh? God is for you. Now, you got to make sure that you're for God. Because he's for you. Huh? You got to make sure that you're for God and you're not going for yourself. Because sometimes we get out of pocket and we go for ourselves. You know, God, I'm going to just do this little thing right here. No, since God is for me, huh, and since I'm for God, then I'm going to walk on the plan that God has prepared, because God has planned for me a good life. Huh? He's got a good life. With ups and downs, with trials and tribulations, it's a good life. You know why? Because my life does not consist of the things that I possess. God has planned for me a good life. Not only for me, but he planned it for all of us. A good life. We have power. Yes, we do. We have power because we have received the life giver. We have received the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside. We have received the Holy God in residence. It's a good life. I hear the Bible said in one place, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's good to be led by the Spirit of God, because Jesus, the Spirit of God, is in fact the Spirit of Jesus. And since he's the only one, I'm talking about Jesus now, he's the only one who came down from heaven, walked on the earth, and then went back up to heaven, and he's the only one that knows how to get from earth to glory. So if I was going to follow anybody, I follow somebody that already made the trip successfully. That's a good life. You looking for a role model? Don't look to me. Don't look to professional athletes. And please don't look to Hollywood or politicians. But if you're looking for somebody to follow, follow Jesus. That's a good life. That's a healthy life. That's a prosperous life. Even in jail, you can follow Jesus. Even on Skid Row, you can follow Jesus. Beverly Hills, no hills. But whatever you do, look to the hills from whence cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord. He's the maker of heaven and earth. God has planned victory for us. Even in these last and evil days, the church, the true church of God, is not going down. You hear what I said? Because I hear the Bible said on this rock, on this revelation about who Jesus really is. That's what he was saying. He said, I'll build my church. That's what Jesus said. It ain't man's church. It's not even an organization's church. This is the church of the living God.
God built it. He's the builder, and he is the maker. And since he's the architect and the designer and the founder and the developer of this salvation, only he can say, on this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Yeah, they're coming, but they ain't going to prevail. You can look the devil in the eye and say, get behind me, Satan. I'm in the true church of the living God. And if I slip up, if I get jacked up and fall, I ain't going to stay in that fallen condition, because Jesus has put in his word, if we confess our sins, oh God, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if I cover my sin, I will not prosper. And that's not the plan that God has for me. God wants me to be in good health. God wants you to be in good health, and he wants you to prosper, even as your soul prospers. So the only way I can prosper is to make sure that there's nothing between my soul and my Savior. So when sin sneaks in, then comes repentance. Glory. Hallelujah. When sin sneaks in, don't stick your head in the sand. Acknowledge your sin. Confess your sin. Tell God you're sorry. And God has promised in his word. Listen, God has approved you to confess your sin. You've been approved to repent every time you make a mistake. And I hear your Bible said, if we say that we have not sinned, then we're liars. That's what your Bible said. I ain't put it in there. God put it in there. So since we can find all of ourselves and all of our acts in the book, thank God for the doctrine. Thank God for the word of God. Here I find my safety. Here I find my recovery. Here I find my strength. Here I find my help. All I have to do is say, God, have mercy on me. I messed up. I ain't making no excuses for my sin. I saw it. I wanted it. I lusted after it. Saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. I did it. Don't try to figure out what I did. Figure out what you did. Glory. Hallelujah. Because if God would mark iniquity, who could stand? All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. I'm so glad that they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And truth be told, sometime his people sin. Then the devil will want to come to your mind and make you think, oh, you might as well throw in the towel. You done messed up. The devil is a liar. And he's the father of lies. If I sin, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He's not telling you to sin. He's not telling you to aim toward sin. But you got to deal with the reality that in this flesh dwells no good thing. Sometimes we allow our flesh to get the best of us. But when we get back to our right mind, when we get back to our righteous mind, we say, God, I messed up big time. I'm so glad we can go to God at any time in the midnight hour. Glory, hallelujah, noonday, in the heat of the day, it don't matter. Those of us who are approved, we got immediate access to God. All we have to do is tell God the truth about ourselves. Do what King David did against thee, and thee only have I sinned and done this wickedness in your sight. God, you're right. You will always be right, and I'm wrong. Oh, we have a problem admitting that we're wrong, and we know we're wrong. We can look one another in the face and know we're dead wrong. Can't spell right with spell check, and still we know we're wrong, but we don't want to admit that we're wrong. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and God, he'll exalt you in due time. All you got to say is, God, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. I ain't making no excuses. I ain't trying to explain. I ain't going to come with what happened was. God, I messed up, and I'm wrong, but I read somewhere, in your word that you resist the proud, but you give grace to the humble. So God, I'm gonna humble myself and acknowledge my wrong, because you reminded me that I'm approved. And since I'm approved to repent. I'm approved to make it right. I'm approved to make it right. I'm approved to let God be true and every man a liar. I'm approved to let my yes be yes and my no be no. I'm approved to get up a righteous man, fall seven times, but God picks him up. So if I fall, some of y'all might see me fall, or we might see one another fall. Get your mouth off your brother, because he's approved just like you. Take your mouth off your sister. She's approved just like you. And since we are all in this thing, we're in the church triumphant. When my brother falls, when my sister falls, I'm going to fall too, but it's going to be a different kind of fall. I'm going to fall on my knees and pray for my brother. I'm going to fall on my knees and pray for my sister. I'm going to try to encourage them. I don't want to get in your business because I got too much of my business going on that I got God to have to deal with. I don't want to know the ins and outs. Don't give me no juicy details. I don't want it. All I want is for you to have strength. All I want is for you to recover. All I want is for you to be reconciled, because my time's coming. You hear what I said? My weak moment is coming. If we deal in this flesh, we're going to have weak moments from time to time. But if I put my mouth every time you slip, if I put my mouth on you every time you make a mistake, then when I fall, I'm going to ask for mercy. Wait a minute, you wasn't giving it out when Sister So-and-so slipped up. You wasn't giving it out when Brother So-and-so slipped up. Mercy is for everybody, because everybody's approved. Every child of God is approved to walk the walk that Jesus has laid down the path. He set the path. He set the standard. And all we have to do is line up with Jesus. Glory. Just walk with him. Just let him lead you. Let him guide you. Somebody wrote a song. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. God's trying to tell somebody, you approve. You don't have to live like that. You don't have to take what the devil's dishing out. You ain't got to give in to your flesh. Mortify, that's what the word said. Mortify your flesh and the deeds of your flesh. What do you mean mortify? Drain every drop of blood out of it, because the life of the creature is in the blood. I got to go here now. So if you got lust in your flesh, put your flesh on the operating table of God and ask for a super syringe to drain the lust out. Drain it out. God, help me. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. Oh, y'all don't want to get that deep, but you approved. If you got lying in your spirit, put yourself, is your all, on the altar. Yeah, of sacrifice lane. Ask God. God, you hate liars. In fact, you said the liars are going to have their part in the lake, and the lake was not meant for me. So, God, I have a tendency. Yes, I do. When things get tight, when you push me into a corner and circumstances don't look like they're going to work for me. I know I'm preaching to somebody. Y'all got real quiet. I have a tendency to tell a little white lie. Ain't no white lie. A lie's a lie. How you going to put a color on it? Either it's true or it's a lie. Knock on the door. Mama, somebody at the door. Tell them I ain't home. My mama says she ain't home. Teaching them kids to lie. Lord, I'm greedy. Uh-oh. I'm covetous. I want what she got. I want what he got. Do you know what he or she had to go through to get that? All you see is the shine. But you don't see the pain. You don't see the agony. You don't see the disappointment. You don't see the abuse. But all you see is the shine. Ooh, ooh, ooh. You ain't no owl. Cut it out. Cut it out. God planned a plan for you. Walk the plan of the good life that he has for you. He designed it for you. Only you can walk the path that God has for you. I can't walk it for you. You can't walk mine for me, because some of your stuff, I don't want. And I know you can deal with some of my stuff. Trust me on that one, all right? No, you can deal with some of my stuff, and I don't want to deal with some of your stuff. But we all got some stuff. But guess what? We've been approved to walk through our stuff with victory. Huh? With victory. But we got to have the right stuff in us. If you got the right stuff in you, when stuff come at you, you can like, ooh, I blocked that. Glory. Hey, I blocked that. Boom. I blocked that. Boom. I blocked that. I'm walking on my path. And don't, oh, God help me today. Don't let folks get you off your path. Ooh. Should I got to go. But don't, I don't care. Oh, Lord, help me. How fine. Ooh. How fine. How enticing. Glory. Help me find the right words, Lord. Even a rose as beautiful and as fragrant and as pleasing to the eyes and to the senses of smell that a rose is. It got some thorns on it, y'all. A rose come with thorns. And they hurt too, don't they? Can draw some blood. Can draw some blood. You've been approved. You hear what I said? You've been approved to live a life free from sin, free from the control of sin, free from the dominion of sin. You've been approved for that. Why would you want to live anything less? Why? You need to be assured. See, the problem comes when we're not assured. And we know that. The problem is we hear that, but we don't know it yet. Huh? We heard that scripture read, and we know that all things work together. And we quote it sometimes, if you'll allow me to be honest, half-heartedly we quote it sometimes, because we look at it as an escape clause. Yes, we do, and we know all things work together for the good. You walking around crossing your fingers, crossing your toes, crossing your eyes. Huh? What do you really know? Huh? What do you really know? God will not put on us more than what we're able to bear. But with the temptation, he will provide a way of escape. That has been planned already for you. That's why we got to stay on God's plan. Because on God's plan, on God's path, is all the ways of escape. But when we get off, we don't know. We run into a cul-de-sac of problems. We run into a dead end of problems. Why? Because you got off God's path. Get back on God's path. Get back on God's purpose for your life. It's the approved path, by the way. Get back on that, and God said, okay, here's a way of escape. The enemy's coming. Yeah, you see him down there? God, he foreknew
That means he foreknew and he foresee. He sees the plans of the enemy. That's next week. God sees into next week. God, we got to believe that. God sees in the next month. God sees in the next year. And if we walk daily with God, God will let us know. Now, the enemy's coming. Oh, no, 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 don't. You ain't got to run. Enemy's coming. You stay on the path. Stay on the path. Now, here's a way of escape. Okay, thank you, God. Boom. No sweat. But when that enemy walks around as a roaring lion. Oh, I'm scared. Oh, so see, he's as a roaring lion. But we got a real lion. The lion of the tribe of Judah. So while he done remixed his roar, you know how sometimes in the music industry, they say, yeah, they got the remix, and then sometimes you got people that are musicians, and then you got studio musicians where they get the computers and the synthesizers, and they, you know, mix. Everybody is a DJ now. You know, they can make up music and beats. But what happened to the original, you know, people who played the instruments, right, who read music? Huh? What happened to them? See, all the devil is, he done bought sometime in somebody's studio of their mind, and put his little mixtape in there, and he got a fake roar. And that fake roar frightens some of us. But the real lion of the tribe of Judah is Jesus. Ain't nothing fake about him. When he roars, all them fake MCs, that's what the devil is. The devil ain't nothing but a fake MC. He's a poser. He's a wannabe. He's a wannabe. Yeah, he's a wannabe. So all them fake MCs, they got to go to the side. We got the lion, and that's Jesus. We got the approval, and that's Jesus. Be assured of that. Now, if you're not assured of that, some scripture tells you to make your calling and election sure. Because in times like these, you better be sure. You can't be hemming and hawing. You can't be like that train, I think I can. You better know something. You better know Jesus. I mean, know him as Savior. And Lord. A lot of people want the Savior part because they see the peril that's coming. But sometimes people don't want to deal with the Lord part. That means he's in charge. That means he's the shot caller, and I'm not. That means he's regulating, and I'm not. So I've been approved to let God call the shots. You've been approved to let God call the shots. So what shall we say to these things then? Since God is for us, who can be against us? Do you know that the approved are in a win-win situation? Heaven is our home. Heaven is our destination. We just got to walk through the process. It's a walk of humility. It's a walk of obedience. It's a walk of obeying God's word. That's it in a nutshell. Not complicated at all. But guess what? The only thing that you have to do is make the right decision. I said, you've been approved. Jesus secured it on Calvary. And all you have to do is activate it. Repent of your sins. Change your heart. Change your mind. Change the direction of your life. Repent. Put faith in what Jesus Christ has done on that cross. Sometimes we say, and we've all said it, me included, should have been me on that cross. But to be actual and factual, it couldn't have been me on that cross because my blood was contaminated by sin. And the only sacrifice that satisfied God, satisfied the holiness and the righteousness of God, was the perfect, sinless blood of Jesus Christ. So, no, it shouldn't have been me, because if it was me, then nobody would be saved. Huh? No, really. You know, and, you know, we have to speak and sing with an understanding. Right? It shouldn't have been me, because if it was me, nobody would be saved. I'm glad it was Jesus on that cross. Now, I deserve to die for my sins, right? Absolutely, factually correct. And so did you. But he died in our place. That's more biblically accurate and sound, right? We have to pray with understanding. We have to sing with understanding, you know, and I've done it. But as God brings things to my mind, I got to correct that. I can't go on in ignorance, right? The sacrifice that Jesus made is for all mankind. He made it possible for everyone to escape the wrath of God. The wrath of God is something that any human should not want to experience. You shouldn't want to experience the wrath of God. It was poured out on Jesus on the cross. And that's something that a human being should not want to experience. There's a way of escape. And the way of escape is through Jesus Christ. I wonder if anybody here who has not walked into or taken advantage of this approval that God has set up for you before you were born in the natural. Are you here today? Do you want to be saved?